The Athletic.
Starcast, the German football pod, brought to you by The Athletic. Today we bring you news of another superb result for Union Berlin, this season's unlikeliest Champions League contenders. There's another Borussia Dortmund draw against lower table opposition to lament, Lucien Favre not at fault this time, RB Leipzig falling short against Wolfsburg, and Schalke going back to losing ways, sadly. We'll also be looking at Bayern Munich's response after that embarrassing cup defeat by Holstein Kiel midweek, and wonder if it's time to start worrying about Borussia Mönchengladbach. All of this and more in Stahlcast. Hello dear listener, and hello Christoph Biermann, who is in a particularly good mood today for reasons that will become all too clear in due course. But before we get going, here's your regular reminder that you can read about the Bundesliga and indeed all the world's best team sports in The Athletic for just £3.99 per month. Sign up at theathletic.com/StahlcastPod. So, Christoph, you're very happy as we record this game, because not only have you been enthralled by the various Bundesliga games, but also Bundesliga 2 game that is perhaps slightly closer to your heart. Tell us all about it. This is your moment in the sunshine, even though it's Blue Monday in January. Please, stage is yours.
It's Blue and White Monday, actually, because Bochum is topping the second division at least for today. Because later on Monday evening, Hamburg is playing at home to Osnabrück, and so they can gain back the first spot of the table. But as long as that didn't happen, Bochum is top of the table after defeating mighty Nürnberg 3-1 on Saturday. And actually, it's point-wise the best season in 10 years, and that's a 10 years... My team is stuck in the second division, so I'm a happy man so far when it comes to my club.
If you're happy, I'm happy, and I'm sure the listeners share your joy.
Thank you, listeners.
It's tough enough.
thank you, Rafa.
Being a VfL Bochum supporter, those days are a few and rare in between, so let's cherish them. As far as the Bundesliga, the real Bundesliga, is concerned, this was a difficult match day to sum up, because there were so many draws and only a few real winners. But one of them was a team that you also have one or two sympathies for, maybe Union Berlin. I mean, we have been talking a lot about them. We've been sort of joking, haha, you know, Champions League, Europa League, of course it will not happen. But they won again, 1-0 against Leverkusen, another excellent performance, even though maybe the winner was slightly fortunate. But now, look where they are, Christoph. Look where they are. I mean, you can no longer be a Union Berlin Europa League denier, I think. 28 points, fifth spot, one off fourth, where Dortmund and Leverkusen now have 29. I mean, this is even a bigger fairy tale than last year. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, because I know you wrote the definitive book on last year's fairy tale, but maybe you have to do another version with fairy tale 2.0.
Yeah, I already told them that I will return for the Champions League, but I was sent out the door, so I'm still in Team Urs Fischer, who is still claiming that they are counting their points against relegation.
Is the problem that you held them back last year, that your influence stopped them from achieving their full potential?
That's the impression I have right now. But honestly, it was again a very good performance they were having. A bit lucky in the first half, because Leverkusen, whom they had lost to three times last season in the Bundesliga and in the German Cup as well, They had one or two good chances in the first half, but if you count the big chances, it was the win in 2 minutes from time wasn't undeserved. So yeah, I mean, we said it already before. You have to really take them seriously. It's especially when it comes to the defending part of football. I think there are not many teams in the Bundesliga who are better than Union Berlin right now, and that's the foundation of the success. And but they also have scored the, I think, still second most goals in the Bundesliga, and that's a big surprise.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, looking at the table, Leipzig 14, Leverkusen 16 and Wolfsburg 19 conceded are the only three teams with sturdier defenses, and going forward they are considerably powerful, only outscored by Bayern at this point, which is remarkable, really. Is there anything that makes you doubt the fact that this can continue? I mean, it doesn't look as if they're overachieving. They're seem to be playing well and getting the results that are in line with the performances so far.
I totally agree. It's not a case of a team just having big luck, just flying and so on. And they also have coped with setbacks with injured players. So for example, against Leverkusen, already in the first half, Geraldo Becker, who was very important in recent games, also scoring goals, picked up an injury and had to leave the pitch early on. And Cedric Teuchert came in, exactly the guy who scored the late winner. And that's impressive me most, because yes, they have a lot of injuries, but when you see them play, it's almost like whoever comes in does his job on a top level, and they continue this good performances. That's pretty impressive.
The only thing that spoiled the joy and the happiness for anyone associated with Union a little bit was this alleged racist incident between Nadia Mamiri and Florian Hübner. Can you explain, Christoph, what you think happened there and what the fallout might be?
So what happened is still a bit unclear. After the game, Jonathan Tah, the Leverkusen defender, told one of the in a TV interview that Nadim Amiri had been insulted by an Union player as a, quote here, a shit Afghan. Nadim Amiri is of Afghanian descent, but he is German. He is born in Germany. He played for the German national team already. And you could see that Amiri was really furious after the game. And then his brother posted, Amiri's brother posted something on Instagram accusing Florian Hübner that he had insulted his brother, and that he is sitting in the changing room in tears. But what we heard afterwards is that Florian Hübner went to the Leverkusen dressing room, sincerely apologized. That was the message from Bayer Leverkusen on the next day, and that Amiri accepted the apologies. And Hübner seems to claim that he didn't say, didn't insult him in a racist way. And I mean, I know Florian Hübner, and I would be surprised to hear something like this from him, because I've never heard something similar from him. But that's only a personal impression. He is also married to a woman that have, I think, Indian descendant. So I would be surprised to see this kind of racist mind frame with him. But the case is pretty unclear so far, and the German FA has obviously come forward to clear the situation, And I think Florian Hübner and Union Berlin has to testify about it in one way or another. So that's the situation right now.
This sort of thing is a very big deal. We saw what happened with Luis Suarez and Patrice Evra. An 8-week ban after lengthy investigation, including lawyers and expert witnesses and so on. Do you get the sense, Christoph, that it is going to be pursued to a similar extent when it comes to really cracking down on this? Or is the German FA still, I don't want to say more lenient, more tolerant, but perhaps less insistent that this thing, you know, shouldn't happen ever?
Maybe that's a case here where we can find out what the how they approach it. We have to say here that the case is not fully clear if Florian Hübner actually said what it was told that he said, because Jonathan Tarr, for example, didn't hear it himself. Somebody told him. But if that happened, I think the German FL will be judged by the reaction to it, and so the case is still open. And but I'm really, really interested to see if they really take it seriously, and they should.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that, and let's not prejudge the issue as far as the FA's reaction is concerned, but indeed also the case itself, because they are conflicting versions of what happened. No conflicting versions about Dortmund's 1-1 draw against Mainz. It was one of those Dortmund games, wasn't it, Christoph? With the difference that this time it had a perhaps more obvious villain, Lucien Favre, no longer there to take the blame. Edin Terzic having done decent work, but still couldn't, of course, help the fact that Marco Reus missed a penalty and effectively missed a chance to put more pressure on Bayern. Dortmund, who were back in the title race last week, seem to be out again this week. What can we say about this team? I mean, the frustration seems to be continuing there.
My impression was that it's not the same story that we have been talking about in the past, with Borussia Dortmund playing sleepy football against minor teams in the Bundesliga. My impression is was they took Mainz seriously. They created enough chances to win the game, and the most obvious one was the penalty that Marco Reus missed. So yes, it was a game to be frustrated about, but I think still the impression stays that Terzic has managed at least to turn around the attitude, or not only the attitude, but the way how Borussia Dortmund is approaching matches. So it's more hardworking now, and on the other hand side, I think Terzic also said it. It's they lacked in some situations maybe a playful element, a light element to overcome a very defensive mindset. So my conclusion is that the overall trend for Borussia Dortmund is better than the results.
Okay, well, they are favourites now to win a trophy, perhaps not the Bundesliga, but the DFB Pokal, because Bayern got knocked out in midweek by second division Holstein Kiel on penalties. Dortmund, Leipzig and Gladbach now among the contenders to win that trophy in place of Bayern. But Bayern did strike back in typical Bayern fashion, winning with a bit of luck, but I guess on balance, well-deserved against Freiburg. 2-1 on Sunday night, Lewandowski with a goal, Müller with a second, and Petersen very nearly scored an equaliser. But you get the sense, Christoph, that this Bayern mini-crisis, or maybe just lack of consistency, is not just a blip. This is a story that we've been talking about throughout the season, and Bayern still look fragile, still look vulnerable, and I think increasingly the fault lines behind the scenes between Hansi Flick and Hasan Salihamidžić are beginning to, I don't want to say become more pronounced, but it is clear that there is a disconnect, I think, to a certain extent, with the players that Hasan Salihamidžić has brought in and Flick's demands, who he feels, and I think he's beginning to show his displeasure, don't really provide the cover and the quality that Bayern would have needed. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, it's how it looks like from the outside, and also but coming back to the game, I mean, this match was, I would say, only 15 centimeters from away from being a huge crisis, because as you mentioned, Petersen hit the woodwork in 2 minutes from time, and at that moment Bayern was a kind of desperately defending against Freiburg at home, and already this was a very strange situation to see. Things are not okay with Bayern Munich right now. I think they will be happy that they had a kind of dirty win or a labored win, but it's right now they don't get things going, and it's so obvious that the investment they did in summer didn't pay off with the players that Salihamidžić brought in, and on the other hand side, the loss they had, Thiago, I think we have to remember him here. And yeah, and
what do you mean remember? I light a candle every day to remember him.
I don't know if you see that saw that Christian Streich is also in your team, yeah. Or I have to say our team.
Another Thiago believer. Yeah.
Yeah, he was when he was asked before the match about the crisis or the problems that Bayern Munich is having. He was starting to praise Thiago and how fantastic he is and how much he is missed by Bayern Munich and so on. And I think that's not the sole explanation, but it's still a point.
It's a very good point, because Bayern continue to have issues as far as their structure game with the ball is concerned, and also their pressing resistance without Thiago, of course, is not quite at the same level. They did win. They did manage to stave off that next crisis or next escalation level of the crisis by just getting over the line with that win. And that means they have won prematurely the first half of the season, because we're coming up to 17 games with the midweek program. We have a lot of different champions this year. There's a Christmas champion, that was Bayern. There'll be a Hinrunde champion, that is Bayern. And the way it looks, they might well be the real champion as well, because Leipzig, who had a chance to put more pressure on them on Saturday and to make sure that Dortmund are kept at bay, only managed a 2-2 draw against Wolfsburg. Now, beating Wolfsburg is not easy. Only two teams have done it. But was that yet another indication that for all the positive things that are happening there, there seems to be a glass ceiling for this team? They just can't get those big wins for some reason.
Yeah, but if we were singing the Thiago song about his departure from Bayern Munich and how much he is missed, I think Julian Nagelsmann can sing the Timo Werner song, because...
What's the tune? Because there is a Thiago tune now in Liverpool. I don't know if you've heard that.
No.
It's based on the Cuba, you know, the Gibson brothers.
Ah, okay.
Thiago. Thiago Alcantara. So I don't know if Timo Werner is nimmer da. No, it's not quite the same.
Maybe Miss You will do Rolling Stones Miss You. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But who scored the most goals for RB Leipzig? It's a good question in a bar, because it's a left defender, Angelinho, and he scored four goals. And I think that says it all. So Julian Nagelsmann is trying the false nine, and he has also Sørloth, who is not trying because he's spending a lot of time on the bench.
Sir Miss-a-Lot, more like.
Yeah, and so he hasn't arrived so far at Leipzig, and so I think that's the glass ceiling for RB Leipzig right now, and you could see it in Wolfsburg as well, where they had the better chances than the home team, is somebody who banks in some more goals. I mean, again, if your best goal scorer is a left defender and he scores four goals in the first half of the season, that's not enough.
No, it's not enough. And I think it's frustrating for Nagelsmann. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see him talking about the players that they've lost and perhaps intimating that some of the players that have come in haven't done it. But the fact of the matter is that Sørloth, who was brought in to be the new main striker, just hasn't done it, as you said. And I think that leaves them with options, of course, and the ability to spread the goals around. But they seem to be working very, very hard for each goal. It needs to be combination. There needs to be things really happening. They don't just have a guy who just turns up and somehow gets there by sheer force of his will or his physicality. And that has an impact. I mean, they have scored 20 fewer goals than Bayern. They've also conceded 9 fewer, but 20 is a gap that is just too big, I think, if you want to win the league. And that seems to be like another opportunity missed for them to take advantage of that weakness from Bayern. Do we have to talk about Gladbach in more negative terms, I wonder? Another 2-2 draw against Stuttgart. I mean, I say another 2-2 draw, but they beat Bayern, of course, 3-2 in that fine performance only 9 days ago. They did win at Bielefeld, but their performances in the league on the whole have been very, very uneven. And that is reflected in the table, where they're only 8th now, still within touching distance of the Champions League places, 4 points adrift of Borussia Dortmund in fourth, but not really what they wanted to do. Christoph, is this a case of having played so well last season, having done so well in the Champions League, we are more forgiving? We kind of just dwell on the positives rather than looking at those results, or is it beginning to turn into a bit of an issue? Because European qualification for this team is absolutely key if they want to keep growing, especially with the chance that Marco Rose might depart in the summer.
Yeah, but when we talk about the game in Stuttgart, you would be tempted to say they gave away again a very late goal with the penalty that came after a very dubious VAR situation. With Ben Sebaini holding Kalajdzic, the huge striker of Stuttgart. And when you look at it, I think in the end, and that's what Felix Brüch, the referee, said, it was a wrong intervention of the video referee, and then it was a wrong decision by Felix Brüch to give a penalty because Kalajdzic was falling over because he was kicked by one of his teammates. So it was a very unlucky draw. I think it's both teams were balanced or equal, Gladbach was a bit better, and they would have deserved to win it, and they can claim to be very unlucky, especially with the situation I was just describing. So yeah, so they were like 60 seconds from away from a big win, and also in the combination with the win against Bayern Munich. So I think we shouldn't be too harsh with them right now, and look how things develop in weeks to come.
Okay, this is all, of course, in the absence of Marcus Thuram, who's about to come back from his lengthy spitting ban. Just one more thing on that penalty. It was a strange decision. At the same time, Ben Sebaini sort of embraces Kalajdzic from behind with a full locking of his own arms. Not enough to bring him down, but at the same time, it's not really the sort of challenge you want to make in the last minute of the game in the box.
Yes, but on the other hand side, if you look at situations during the match, you have matches, you have hundreds of it, and he was embracing him only very briefly and lightly. So it wasn't the case of one huge guy holding another huge guy, and then they both fall over. You can criticize Spencer Baini for that. He should have been more clever, but the decision in the end was wrong, I would say.
Mm. We have two nil-nils that we should just mention briefly for the sake of just mentioning them, really. Köln-Hertha, where we thought the loser might lose his job, both managed to do just enough to maybe live another day. Marcus Gisdol with that a draw, making sure that Köln stays in 16th spot. And Hertha, under Bruno Labbadia, treading water, really. They're in 13th on 17 points. But you get the sense, and this is something that you touched upon, Christoph, that Bruno Labbadia, perhaps not the man that will take Hertha forward when it comes to their huge ambitions with all the investment that's coming in. But the biggest game that we haven't mentioned so far in terms of the result and the clubs involved was Frankfurt-Schalke. Now, Schalke, fresh off their first win in a calendar year, go back to losing ways, 3-1 against Frankfurt. Was this a case of just basically coming up against a much better team, and there's not much that Schalke could have done, even in normal times? Or did we see Schalke kind of giving up again in this game?
No, they weren't giving up. But in a way, it was back to normal, because they almost created nothing. When you're talking about the depressing aspect for Schalke, is they scored a goal that was a defensive error, because Hinteregger, the defender, and Trapp, the goalkeeper, were both reluctant to jump in a situation, and Matthew Hoppe, the American, was happy to take the advantage of it and scoring an equalizer just a minute after Frankfurt had gone 1-0 up. But apart from that, Schalke was almost non-existent in attack, and so it was the a day for Frankfurt moving stories, fairy tales, and so on, because David Abraham, the beloved captain of the team, the Argentinian, played his last match of his career, because he is going back into his homeland, and because he wants to spend more time with this little boy. And very, very funny situation after the final whistle, because he was swapping shirts with the referee, with Manuel Gräfe, who is probably the most popular referee among German professionals, because he is so relaxed.
Cool.
Yeah, he is a cool referee, and that was very funny. And also Luka Jovic coming back to Frankfurt, who had left the Frankfurt team, who was astounding Europe, reaching the Euro League final against Chelsea. And so he after this he went to Real Madrid without being able to find a place in the team, and so Real Madrid loaned him out last week back to Frankfurt till the end of the season. And after he came in, he scored goal number 2 and goal number 3 for Frankfurt. So a lot of warm feelings among Frankfurt and among Frankfurt supporters. But Schalke afterwards were like, Frankfurt was too good for us, and now we have to concentrate on the big match. And the big match is on Wednesday against Cologne. And if Schalke would lose it, it's difficult to imagine how Cologne scores a goal, but but anyhow, their relegation battle would almost already be over. And But winning it, they would be back in the game. They also go back the memory lane, but in a different way than Frankfurt, because obviously Klaas-Jan Huntelaar is coming back to Schalke from Ajax Amsterdam, who is 37 now. And also there are talks of Rafinha coming back to Schalke. I don't know how old he is now. He's playing in Genoa.
He must be also 36 or 37.
Yeah, and there were a lot of jokes about Klaus Fischer and Rüdiger Abramczyk also coming back. And yeah, that's Schalke tries to strengthen their squad, especially in offense. A funny side story. They actually contacted Vedat Ibisevic. You remember he came also one of the old guys coming in before the start of the season, but then he was following out, I think it was Naldo, and was sent away.
Or the assistant coach.
The assistant coach, exactly. And now they
Fired effectively.
Yeah, he was fired. Okay, let's put it like that. He was fired, and then he was asked if he what he thinks about returning now that Christian Groß is the manager. I think that's tells a lot how chaotic and desperate the situation is at Schalke.
Yeah. So Matthew Hoppe, for any American listeners, perhaps not the savior. I mean, he did score again, which is amazing, but you seem to suggest that Schalke are still in the market for somebody slightly more experienced up front.
Yeah, and I think, I don't want to play it down, but it looks a bit like Matthew Hoppe has a hot streak right now that is maybe a bit hotter than his real abilities are.
Right, that's not something we can say about Schalke on the whole, of course. If there's any exact opposite of a hot streak, I don't know, some frozen run or something, that is definitely what we would say about them. Right, I think that's all we got time for today. But as a special boon for you, dear listener, we will be coming back on Thursday with a special edition of Starcast after those midweek fixtures that we've talked about, including Leverkusen Dortmund, the Bosch Derby, and Leipzig Union Champions League shootout. Ahoy. Check in with us again on Thursday. Until then, have a lovely week. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.